I'd like to talk with us today about the grace-filled life. And the way we walk in the grace-filled life is by being inspired by the Holy Spirit. And as has been shared, we had the homegoing celebration of Mrs. Eleanor Duty yesterday. And I'd just like to ask my wife Sylvia to just come on up here and just share a little bit about Eleanor. And Sylvia, would you come on up and share a little bit about Eleanor? Eleanor was a part of our church. They moved up to Middletown. My wife and I actually led a flock group, and it was at their house. So we led a flock group at their house, and that was very advantageous because Eleanor is a great hostess, great cook. And Dan and Eleanor, they actually got married the same year that Sylvia and I got married, about, 22 years ago. And they led a group for young married couples. And I remember being particularly encouraged by Eleanor. But Sylvia, what would you like to share about
Eleanor? I guess I met Eleanor about 21 years ago. And about...
It's okay.
About 2 years later, my mom passed away. She had been a great friend, but at that point she really took the role of a mother in my life. And she poured into me and poured into me and poured into me for so many years. And even after they moved up to Frederick, and she just continued to reach out to me. And I just thought, and I kept thinking of that verse, that in our weakness he is made strong. And Eleanor was pretty much grew up without a mother. Her mother died when she was 2 or 3 years old. And Eleanor never was a natural mother. She never bore any children. And yet, the one word I could use to define her was mother. And I thought, even though she didn't grow up with a mother and she was never a natural mother, that's what she became in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
She was a mother to many, including myself. And I just thank God for her.
Amen. Thank you so much. She really was the epitome of someone who was led by the Holy Spirit. In many different ways, she would follow the Holy Spirit's leading to bless others. And was shared yesterday that she was an others-focused champion, really what we're aiming to be. And that was by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Being inspired by the Holy Spirit, living a grace-empowered life, is going beyond the supposed-to things of life. You know, my children sometimes may ask me, do I have to do that? And I kind of refuse the have-to question. Do I have to do that? The question is, what do you want to do? What are you willing to do? I will to do the will of God. That issue of willingness as opposed to just, you know, having to-ness is very, very important. Going beyond just living up to the law. It's instead of having a law-based Christianity, it's having a grace-filled Christianity. A Holy Spirit-inspired living. It's really going the extra mile. When the Holy Spirit inspires us to do so. Not out of law, that you have to go the extra mile. But when the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us, that those little nuggets and nudgings, I mean, that the Lord puts in our heart to say, to encourage somebody, to do, to bless somebody, that we take those seriously. In Matthew 5:41, there was a practice, and Jesus was talking to the Jewish people, and there was this practice during that time that if a Roman soldier would ask you to carry their luggage and just their belongings and armor and so forth 1 mile, that you had to do that. It was a little bit insulting to do that. Probably didn't happen often, but you had to do that. And Jesus said, if someone, you know, asks you to do that 1 mile, go the second mile. Do it a second mile. And so the Holy Spirit-inspired life is going beyond. But it's not out of self-effort. But it's because of the overflow of God's grace and favor in our life. It's living by inspiration. I love to smith words, and that word inspire. You can see in that word inspire, you can see the words in spirit. The Holy Spirit inside you, inspiring you. Last week, Dad shared, by the way, Mom and Dad are up in Frederick this morning, helping out with Crossroads Valley Chapel. They are making a significant advance in setting in elders and deacons. And so that's a very significant advance as, with Living Grace Ministries and seeing them advance in the kingdom of God. Well, last week, Dad shared about the old life versus the new life. Pastor Rick alluded to it this morning. The old life versus the new life. Living by the law of Moses as opposed to the faith, grace, life of Joshua or Jesus. Both Joshua and Jesus mean salvation. Living in the overflow of grace, the positive side of life. So often we can be tempted to live a low-level Christianity, a works-based Christianity, a self-effort Christianity, a regulations-based Christianity. But in Dad's diagram, this is something separate. I didn't share this last week, but I remember from many years ago, he has this diagram about disgrace, ungrace, and grace. Disgrace is kind of at the bottom. And it's where we can become humiliated because of pride. Dwayne shared in his prophecy about not being disgraced, not being shamed, and how God calls us forth in His mercy and grace. He lifts us up and calls us forth. That, you know, we're not just in that state of being disgraced, in that state of humiliation, in that state of shame. All right, but if we walk in pride, the Bible says pride comes before a fall. But God gives grace to the humble. So there is something about walking in pride that can lead to disgrace. Then in the diagram it talks about ungrace. Ungrace is just kind of a neutral place. It's really that place of we're keeping ourselves together. We have that self-effort. We're just making it. But then the place of grace is the dynamic of Jesus Christ in our life. It's being inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's getting our minds off all the things of this world and the negativities, but getting our mind on Christ and what He can do in our life and how He can lead us and guide us and inspire us by the Holy Spirit to bless others. And so it's not disgrace, it's not ungrace, but grace. Capital letters, grace. Grace gives us a totally different perspective for living the Christian life. It's not a focus of avoiding certain things. Can't do this or don't do these things perspective. Of course we know, and we're going to share in the Word of God, there are things that we're to avoid. There are things that we're to live by. But I'm talking about the focus. I'm talking about the perspective. It's not a focus of or perspective of my Christianity is simply a matter of avoiding certain things. Avoiding this, avoiding that. You know how my dad would talk about the saucy seven, and I forget the other adjectives, you know, that they had. The saucy seven. You got to avoid these seven things and so forth to live a good Christian life. It's not that focus. There's a different focus. A grace-based focus is a focus of Christ. Christ in you by the Holy Spirit leading you. It's a dynamic of Christ where we get our focus on Christ and His leading in our life. I'd like us to turn to Galatians chapter 5. I was encouraged by Pastor Rick's mention about bringing our Bibles, and so often we've got our tech-based Bibles, right? Okay, nowadays. All right, so we don't hear the pages turning as much. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, it says, "You, my brothers, were called to be free." Say, "I was called to be free." But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. See, again, this is a positive orientation. Love your neighbor as yourself. In the law of Moses and the Ten Commandments, there's the do not do this, the do not do this. But Jesus said that all the law was summed up and loving God with all of your being and loving your neighbor. Loving your neighbor as yourself. So it's a positive orientation. And there's no limits to how you can bless others. There's no limits to this. Matthew 7:12 is the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Verse 15. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. This is what happens when we live that low-level Christianity. When we live the law-based Christianity. When we live the regulation-based Christianity. Because we're putting it on ourselves, and then what happens is we also naturally put it upon others. It says, if you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. It leads to a self-righteousness. It leads toward a judgmentalism toward others, looking down on others. That's not how God wants us to live. So I say, live by the Spirit. Now we're going to see a number of things in this passage that relate to our habit, our practice, who we are. None of us are perfect. None of us avoid sin. Completely. We sin every day. That's why the Bible says to confess your sins. And He is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But what is the general tenor of our life? Is the general tenor of our life characterized by living by the Spirit or living by the sinful nature? What is our practice? What is our habit? What is our life characterized by? And that's what this is talking about. It's a present tense that it's happening. So I say, live by the Spirit. And you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. So simply by seeking to live by the Spirit, by focusing upon Christ in you, which is the Holy Spirit, by following His leading, by following His guiding, by being inspired by Him, if we focus on that, we're not going to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. We're not going to go that direction because we're living by the Spirit. Romans 8:2 says, through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life. The law, say that. The law of the Spirit of life.
The law of the Spirit of life.
Set me free, say that.
Set me free.
From the law of sin and death. Amen. Verse 17. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit. And the Spirit desires what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. See, there is a conflict going on. When we become a Christian, unfortunately, we don't simply lose that sinful nature. We are not enslaved to the sinful nature. The sinful nature no longer has mastery over us. But there is a struggle. We need to be honest. There is a conflict. But as we learn to yield more and more to the Spirit in our life, the sinful nature more and more subsides. And you will see as you grow. You will see as there's markers in your life. Perhaps, what are some markers? You know, perhaps a marker might be Sylvia and me when we have an argument. All right, how many of you have an argument with your spouse every once in a while? Okay, well, that might be a marker where you see that, okay, I was nicer in having the argument this time. All right, I didn't start making a personal attack during the argument this time. I didn't start yelling during the argument this time. I didn't throw things during the argument this time. All right? And you see that you are improving, that you are growing and yielding more to the Holy Spirit in your life, that you're growing in how you're walking with other people. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Now, the people here would understand what the law is. Sometimes in our society, we're so, you know, we don't really think about laws being put on ourselves and regulations being put on ourselves. But the Jewish people had many laws, really extra-biblical laws that were put on them that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law would put on the people, say, well, this is how you walk out that principle. And they were so caught up on keeping all these jot and tittle of the law that they lost the focus of focusing on God and His Spirit in their life. Sometimes we put laws upon ourselves. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. I'm kind of thinking of the New Year's resolutions laws that we put on ourselves. Verse 19. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. They're obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, just a pleasure-seeking lifestyle, just going after pleasure, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, you know, just divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this, again, living like this, that this is the characterization of the person's life, that this is the habit of existence. None of us are perfect again. But living like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's obvious. It's obvious. If we're living this way, as described here, we're obviously not living by God's grace. God's grace would not produce that. Being led by the Holy Spirit would not produce that. A focus on Christ would not produce that. Seeking to follow Him and be led by the Holy Spirit and inspired by the Holy Spirit would not produce this kind of life. It's obvious that if we're living this way, we're not being led by the Holy Spirit. But, verse 22, the fruit, singular, a singular focus. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. A Holy Spirit-led life will be characterized by the singularity of this kind of fruit. You know, I think of that one, self-control. Often we set up laws for ourselves. And often these laws set us up for failure. Now, I don't want to come against anyone's New Year's resolutions. More power to you. As long as you can stay resolved for however length of time you have in whatever resolution you made, I'll give you all the encouragement, all the attaboys, all the attagirls you need to keep on going on. All right? So, you know, but we often have these New Year's resolutions to refrain from certain foods. You know, I'm going to refrain from these kinds of foods for 2013. And, you know, we hear the statistics as to how long these resolutions last, you know, and whether it be, you know, 2 days or 2 weeks or 1 month. For me, if I made a resolution that I'm not going to eat pizza for 2013, it would not last. All right? I would be an utter failure. However, again, with the fruit of self-control, instead of in my early 20s, and I actually would do this, I would go to a Shakey's all-you-can-eat pizza buffet and eat upwards of 18 pieces of pizza. I would. I'd get up in the high teens.
Explain what Shakey's is.
Oh, you explain, Lee. What is Shakey's? Good pizza place, all right? And so, you know, instead of that kind of gluttony, all right, God, I can ask God to work the fruit of self-control in me. All right? Instead of saying, I'm not going to eat pizza, Lord, help me to grow in self-control, where maybe I eat just 3 or 4 pieces of pizza. To me, that's a small amount. All right? And so it's a positive orientation. All right? Even secular sources tell us that, you know, when we set up these laws in terms of diets, they don't work. You know, we're up and down and all over the place and going all over the place. But when we talk about a healthy lifestyle, when we talk about exercise, when we talk about exercising self-control, eating nutritiously, just eating what's good for us, not having this thing where I'm just never going to eat a sweet, but just generally speaking, growing in our ability to eat nutritiously, that's where the health is in the long term. And so we're not setting up these law-based orientations that we can sometimes put on ourselves to live. Let's go back to Galatians 5:24. It says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Again, this is what happens when we live the other kind of Christianity. When we live out of a self-righteous, self-effort Christianity, we can become conceited. Either we can get very discouraged because we fail, or we can become conceited because, hey, look at me, I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good. And then we start looking down on others. All right? We become conceited, provoking and envying each other. If we live by the Holy Spirit, we won't do this. We live by the Holy Spirit, we're imitating Christ and His gentleness and His humility, and we're seeking to bless others, and we're not looking down on others. When we live out of self-righteous, self-effort Christianity, back to verse 15, all right, we bite and devour each other, and we destroy one another. God is saying there's a better way. And the better way is living by the leading of God's Spirit, living by His life, living by His presence, living by His leading. And what happens as we live by the Holy Spirit's inspiration in our life, negative actions such as conceited pride and provoking others fall by the wayside. And instead, what is replaced are positive actions which build up others. As we heard so much of yesterday with Eleanor, it was just an incredible service. How do we communicate this grace-based life? How do we communicate this Holy Spirit-inspired life? Think about when you're on the job with coworkers. Is there ever backbiting going on there? Is there any office gossip going on? Or maybe, you know, some backstabbing and things like this? How do we walk it out there? With supervisors? How about with our spouse? How about with our children? With our young people? You know, how are we walking with them? What are we putting on them? All right? I'm all for boundaries. All right? I'm an educator. Children need boundaries. But what is our basic orientation toward our children? Is it more of an inspiring nature? Or is it more of a, you have to do this, 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 and this, and this to get my approval? What is our orientation toward our children, toward our spouse? And working with all the different ones in our life. There is a better way. And working with others, whoever may be, there is an inspiring and motivating way. Being inspired by the Holy Spirit, being led by the Spirit. And this has to do with both working with yourself. First of all, we have to lead ourselves. And also working with people. We can ask questions. We can ask questions of ourselves. We can ask questions of other people in a school, you know, I might ask, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? I might ask a teacher if they have an idea. What do you want to do? Maybe they're going above and beyond something, you know? What do you want? You don't have to do it. I don't want anyone to feel like they have to do anything. What do you want to do? What are you being led to do? What are you inspired to do? What is the Holy Spirit leading you to do? Now, I know you might not be able to ask some of these questions in the secular office work field. But what do you want to do? What do you feel led to do? What are you inspired to do? This kind of orientation. Sylvia often gets these nudgings of the Holy Spirit. And it can lead her to be very generous toward others. And sometimes I do a little bit of a double take, but I'm learning more and more to go along with what she desires to do. And as we commit each day to the Lord and ask Him to guide us, we will get these thoughts. We will get these inspirations. And we need to recognize that these thoughts that come to us in our hearts and our minds are not just random things, as the bumper sticker says, random acts of kindness. They're not just random things. They are purposeful. They are from God. They are from the Holy Spirit. If you give your day to the Lord, and He puts things in your minds that go up and encourage a coworker, or send a note to a neighbor, or make some cookies and bring them to a neighbor's house, or whatever it may be, you need to believe that it's the Holy Spirit that is inspiring you. It's the Holy Spirit that is leading you and guiding you. And this is where this life really makes a difference in others' lives. It's going that extra mile. It's being others-focused. It's being inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's grace-empowered living. It is a different kind of Christianity. I think you've understood by now, my heart for you is that you live the kind of Christianity when you get into the Word of God and you really understand theologically what the Apostle Paul is saying. That it goes, it's there. It's in the Word of God. It is a very much a grace-based Christianity that is inspiring to live. And it goes so much deeper than a law-based Christianity that so often people think about Christianity that it's just a matter of do's and don'ts. It's so much deeper than that. It's so much more inspiring than that. We have the opportunity because of Jesus Christ to live a great life. To live an inspiring life. A life that makes a difference in other people's lives. And that's what I really want to encourage you to understand about Christ and Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's not living out of have to, but it's living out of want to. It's a totally new perspective for living. And of course, it all comes back to the example of Jesus Christ, who is the most inspired leader ever. And His gentleness and His humbleness and His approach to others. His love. If we could just look at the face of Jesus. You know, I don't know if you have seen that movie Ben-Hur. Alright? But Ben-Hur, at some point, you know, as he's striving in all of his Romanhood and all of us who he is and trying to identify who he is and just a strong man Ben-Hur is. And at some point, he's just on the ground and he's in the mire and the dust and the sand and in slavery. And he looks up and he looks up at the face of Christ. And his whole countenance changes. If we could just see Christ, His love motivates, inspires. And it's much more than dictating regulations, the have-tos. And so as we start 2013, I want to encourage us to walk this way. To not make it your resolution to walk this way, but make it your surrender. Really, you're saying, Lord, I can't. I can't resolve. I can't do this out of my own strength. I can't keep that resolution. I can't, but I surrender. I can't, but You can. I surrender. I yield. And I say, Lord, inspire me by Your Holy Spirit. Lead me by Your Holy Spirit. Give me that positive orientation where the Lord tells me what to do as opposed to trying to have a focus of avoiding what not to do. Let's all stand for prayer. Thank You, Lord. Bless You, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, that You would help us to understand what it means to live by Your grace, to live by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Just repeat after me in your own heart and mind. There's power to the Word of God. Lord, I want to live empowered. I want to live inspired by Your Holy Spirit. I don't want to live out of a focus of self-good works living. Lord, instead I want, help me, Lord. Help me to be led by Your Spirit. Lord, help me to live the life of Christ, both in big ways and in small ways, Lord. I ask that You lead me. Father, there is no limits to Your abundant life. And Father, because there's no limits to Your love and giving Spirit, Lord, there's no limits to the generosity of Spirit that You can work through me to others when You lead me by Your Spirit. Thank You, Lord, that You've made me free to be all You've created me to be. This is how You've created me, Lord. Thank You that I'm free. I thank You that in the name of Jesus Christ, every shackle is broken. I thank you that in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, every bind is broken, Lord God, and that we are free to serve you, Lord God. Lord, lead us to live a grace-empowered, Christ-imitating, Holy Spirit-inspired life. In Jesus' name, amen.